Hi, this is Eric Casto with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. We're in the School of Acts, and we are in the second pre-supplement teaching. And now, these two pre-supplement teachings are very important to kind of help the student of the Bible, the student of the book of Acts, to get a bigger picture, to understand where we are on the timeline of history. And also then today, we're going to look at Jesus and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So let's get busy here, and it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time as we open the Word of God. Now, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your purpose in our lives. And Father, I ask that you would teach us as we look at our Lord and Savior, at his life and ministry, that we would learn. And Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. I pray that there would be an unlocking of gifts and anointings in our lives as we approach the Word of God, looking at our Savior, looking at our Lord, looking at Jesus. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we get started, we need to start with Matthew chapter 3. So you want to get your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16. The Bible says, when Jesus was baptized, he went up immediately up out of the water, and the heavens were opened unto him. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, it's very important in the book of Acts, in the first chapter, when the disciples of the Lord, so the 11 apostles and those who were close to the Lord, they realize we have to appoint someone to take Judas's bishopric, his office, to become the 12th apostle. Now, the Bible didn't say that the Lord appointed them to do this. They took that upon themselves, and then they began to draw straws, and you know, and so, but when they did that, they said the criteria of choosing an apostle to them at that time was that they had to be with us from the beginning, all the way back to the baptism of John. And there were people that followed Jesus that were not the apostles, but they were close to the Lord. They loved the Lord. The Lord loved them. He was close to them. And they had to be those who witnessed, now get this, this experience. So they saw Jesus go into the water, and they saw the power of God come down upon him. Now, they may not have seen the Holy Spirit like a dove, but they saw power. They saw that experience. They knew something very holy was happening, and it stuck with them. They became disciples. Then they heard the voice of the Father saying, this is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. And so this was a very powerful experience. Now, as we get into the ministry of Jesus, we have to understand that the book of Philippians 2, verse 7, it declares that Jesus humbled himself. He put away his glory, the glory that he had before creation. He became a man. He became like us. In fact, in John chapter 17, verse 5, as Jesus is praying before he goes to the cross, he says, now, Father, clothe me with yourself, with the glory that I had with you before the creation, before the foundation of the world. What was he saying? He was saying, I became a man, and I put away from myself that creation, that power, that glory of who he was as the Word of God, who as the Father moved forward in the will, the Word of God was out there creating by the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, he put aside that glory. He became a man. And in fact, when the lady with the issue of blood touched Jesus, he said, who touched me? He didn't know who touched him. He was a man without the Holy Spirit, he operated exactly like a man. In fact, whenever he would do a mighty work, maybe cast the devil out of someone, he would always refer to himself as the Son of Man. Now, the devils would say, you're the Son of God, and he was, but he would refer to himself as the Son of Man, meaning, I have become like man. And so here he is, baptized, and now the power of the Holy Spirit is coming down and clothing him. And, whoa, what a powerful experience. So here we have Jesus. He is now launching into this, the 3 years, three and a half years of his ministry. We have no records of healings, of miracles, of anything supernatural before this baptism. But after this baptism, the rest of the gospel is full of the power and the glory of God. And why did he do that? Well, because the plan of salvation is going to birth the book of Acts, where men and women believing upon Jesus are now the body of Christ, meaning they're going to look like him. They're going to become like him. And it is a process, but in that process, he has afforded his power and his glory. So now, to get into this, let's turn to Matthew chapter 14, because Matthew chapter 14 is an amazing chapter of the Bible, because it really is so full of the power of God operating in Jesus's life. And of course, the disciples are right there, and they're with him, and they're watching everything, and they're just normal people, just like you. They had their strong points and their weak points, and he was constantly working with them. And the thing about Jesus, he was patient, he was kind, and very loving. He wasn't a control freak, okay? He was so loving. In the midst of all the power and the glory, he was humble, and he loved these men, and he was investing himself into these men, just like he's investing himself into you as you listen, into me as I listen, even though I'm the one teaching right now, I'm listening. I want to learn. So let's go to Matthew chapter 14, and the Bible begins in verse 14. So it's very easy. Matthew 14, verse 14. And Jesus went forth, and he saw a great multitude. He was moved with compassion towards them. Now, let's just pause there for a minute. It didn't say he was moved by the power of God. No. He was moved by love. And this love was operating in this compassion. And in this compassion, the mercy of God was coming down upon the multitudes, and he began to heal the sick. So here we have the gifts of healings. And let me just say this. And as you get into the school of Acts, you're going to realize that the Bible really doesn't call them gifts the way you and I think about a gift. These are the things that pertain to the Holy Spirit, the things that he has. And one of them are these operations or these distributions of healings. The Holy Spirit has a healing ministry. And here is Jesus, the multitude, they're right there. And guess what? Through the power of the Holy Ghost, Jesus is working with heaven, with the Holy Spirit, and these gifts of healings are in operation. And these apostles, these disciples are, can you imagine the atmosphere? I bet you Peter and James and John are like, the glory of God, I can't even stand. It's so strong and powerful as people are putting the cripple down, and all of a sudden you're hearing their bones pop back into place, and they're standing up and hugging Jesus, and they're walking off, and there's people without eyeballs coming up here, and he just simply touches them, and all of a sudden they have eyes, and they're seeing what they've never seen. And now they're crying because they're seeing the world like they've never seen it before. And then you have the cancers, you have the headache. Jesus, I have a headache. Oh, come here. And he lays his hand upon them, and the power of the Holy Spirit is taking headaches out of people. Maybe you have a headache right now. I just pray that in Jesus' name, that your headache would leave right now in Jesus' name. And because the Holy Spirit, he's such a wonderful, healing Holy Spirit. And so these disciples are watching the gifts of healings, oh, just saturating the crowd as Jesus is healing them. Now, this crowd, they're excited. I mean, if you've ever been in a healing service and you're seeing people get healed and the power of God, the joy of the Lord is so, this crowd is really being impacted. Let's keep reading. And it was evening. The disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place, and now it's past time. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food. So here are the disciples, and they believe that they have a lot of practical sense that Jesus may not have. So they're saying, look at the time of day. We're all hungry. Let's stop for some food. That's really what they were saying. They probably didn't care about the crowd. They were probably hungry themselves. And Jesus says to them, they don't need to leave. You know, he wanted them in that presence longer. I don't know why, but the Lord is strategic. And I really believe this isn't just about a miracle or the power of God multiplying loaves and fish. And that's going to happen. We're going to read that. But I believe that he wanted that glory and that power abiding upon the multitudes, touching them. You know, the Lord loves to touch his creation. And never since Adam's fall in the book of Genesis was there a scene like this, where multitudes, thousands of people, were literally abiding under that shadow of God, and they were being healed, completely made whole. And so I believe in the heart of God, he was touched, and he just wanted them there with him. So let's read. Jesus says, you give them something to eat. And they said, well, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, well, bring those to me. Now, he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. Now, he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Looking up to heaven, he blessed, brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitudes. They did all eat and were filled. They took up of the fragments that remained, what? 12 baskets that were just overflowing with the results of this wonderful move of God. Now, you say, well, what happened here? Well, I lean that, yes, you can call this a miracle, and I used to call it the working of miracles. I don't believe that this was the actual gift of the Spirit called the working of miracles. I believe that this was the gift of faith. Because what did Jesus do? He simply took what he had and he held it up to heaven, putting it into the hands of God, into God's ability. And then in that, the gift of God's faith came down upon it. And as they carried it and began to break it and to give it out, they were doing what they could do, and God was doing what he could do. Jesus did not multiply that bread. He offered it up to God, and God was supernaturally causing it to never run out. I really believe this was an operation of the gift of faith. And I think if Jesus took it and he spoke to it, commanding it to multiply, then he would have been enacting through the working of miracles upon it. And then, yes, I believe that you would have begun to see something happen. But that's not the case here. So here we have these through the eyes of the disciples, they're in the presence of healing, and now the gift of faith comes down so strong, and they're all being fed. Remember, in the wilderness, manna every morning. Moses wasn't out there creating miracles. It was God's power providing. No man was doing it. It was the Father providing. So here we have what I believe is the gift of faith. Jesus is receiving it done. And I think the other miracle here was, where did those 12 baskets come from? I mean, who carries 12 empty baskets out into the wilderness and then, well, I have some bread, I have some scraps, 12 basketfuls of, and these baskets, when you read about them, they were a tightly woven basket so that none of the bread could fall out. I tell you what, it is, you just, when you talk about the Lord's miracle working power, it is so perfect. And you know, he wants that power working in us where he can just show off and we just sit back and say, Lord, I love you so much. Now, verse 21, when they had eaten, there were about 5,000 men beside the women and children. Immediately, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship to go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. So Jesus didn't have bodyguards. He was guarding the disciples the whole time. And he puts them in a boat and says, now I want you to go across the lake and I'll catch up with you. And verse 23, when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain alone to pray. And when the evening had come, he was there alone. Now, when you go into the book of John, chapter 6, verse 15, you get a little more insight of what was happening after this multitude ate. Jesus began to discern what was happening in the hearts of the people. Now, the people had been healed. They had been abiding under the glory, unlike they had never experienced this before. And now the gift of faith is there operating, and they're all eating until they are full. He's healed us. He's provided food for us. And now an evil thought creeps in, and they don't know it's evil. They think it's a good thought, but it's an evil thought. And they're saying, oh, you know what we need to do? We need to take Jesus by force and make him our king. He'll deal with the Romans. Well, it was the discerning of spirits. He began to discern the spirit that was counseling the hearts, and that people were now beginning to give into that. Well, Peter did the same thing. Jesus said, I'm going to die on the cross. And what? Peter says, no, you're not. It sounded good, but it was Satan. And Jesus discerned it, and he rebuked the devil. Now, in this situation, he didn't rebuke it. He just disappeared. He just kind of got lost from the crowd and went up to the mountain to pray, because I think he knew that as soon as he removes himself and they can't find him, that they'll come back into their right senses, and that demonic power will leave them. And probably he was up there praying for them, that the blood, you know, I want to say the blood of the Lamb, but it hadn't been shed yet. But I'm sure he was calling down the help of God to clean their minds. Now, does that mean that all that power and glory that they were in was wrong? No, because God was doing something deep into their hearts. And just because the enemy comes into tries to affect the mind, that doesn't move God. Because first of all, he's doing a deeper work in the spirit. And through his intercession, he's going to help keep our minds moving the right direction. And that's the power of his word. So he goes up and he begins to pray. And I'm sure he's praying for them and he's praying for his disciples. Now, the Bible says in verse 24, and the ship was now in the midst of the sea. It was tossed with waves, for the wind was against them. So these disciples, they're having a really hard time. They had been over there. They saw the gifts of healings, and they ate all the food, and now they're trying to get across the lake, and it's not easy. So verse 25, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. They were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. They cried out for fear, Immediately Jesus spake to them, saying, Be of good cheer, it's I, be not afraid. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come upon the water. And Jesus said, Come. And when Peter had come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. All of a sudden, Jesus is walking in the working of miracles. He's not receiving the power of God. He is operating in the power of God. And he's walking not only on water, but he's walking on top of wind-swept waves, wavy water. And that's even harder. And so he's walking out there. He's walking in that operation of miracles. And the disciples see it. And when you read it, I mean, it's powerful. These guys are crying. These are grown men, and they are crying out for fear. Have you ever thought about the apostles of the Lord, the very men that are the foundation of the church? Did you ever get a picture of them crying? Well, that was happening. And you would have been crying. I would have been crying right there with them, screaming. But Jesus immediately speaks a simple word, an inspirational word, coming under the glory of the operation of prophecy. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3, prophecy edifies, encourages, and comforts. Those men needed a comforting word. Jesus speaks that word under the power of the glory of God. It's I, be not afraid. When he speaks that word, I am telling you, the atmosphere in Peter's heart changes. And that's the power of prophecy. Now Peter is like, Jesus, if it's you, I'm gonna come down. Command me to come down out of the boat. And Jesus says, come. And all of a sudden, Peter is walking on the water. You're seeing the power of the working of miracles and then prophecy. How prophecy can change the atmosphere of a man's heart from fear now into an operation of faith, hooking into, in this, miracles. Now, obviously, you know the story. Peter began to look at the wind and the waves, and the Bible says he beginning to sink. He didn't sink. It was beginning. There was a process that had begun, but he was still operating in faith. But now the faith was being mixed with fear, and now he's beginning to sink, and the Bible says immediately. Peter did not go under the water. It was beginning and immediately. So I don't even know if the other guys in the boat realized what was happening to Peter. Peter knows what was happening. Peter knows the fear that was in him. Peter knows he began to go down. But the Bible says immediately, Jesus was right there. He was so close, and he's that close to you and me immediately. Just remember the word immediately. I don't know what you're going to face, but remember, Jesus is an immediate Jesus, and allow him to be the immediate Jesus in your life. And so it's kind of funny because you usually see pictures of Peter. He's almost totally under the water, and Jesus is like trying to look for him under the water to pick him up or something. And that's not what the Bible says. He began and Jesus immediately. And so just stick with what the word says and allow that to show you the character of your Lord. Okay. And now when they were come into the ship, now here we go, verse 32, the wind ceased. And when you look at John chapter 6, verse 21, it wasn't just the wind ceased. The Bible says immediately they were on the other side. They were translated. Well, that's the gift of faith. Jesus didn't make it happen. Now, when he was walking on the water, he was doing that. But this was different. I don't think any of them were ready to be translated. They were still trying to get over the storm and the wind and the waves and Peter. And all of a sudden, now they're at the other side of the lake, docked, ready to get out. And that is the gift of faith. It's the same operation that's going to be in the rapture of the church. It's going to be the gift of faith. And you're talking about in the twinkling of an eye, we're out of here. And we're not just out of here. We are changed with our glorious new bodies. Amen. Now, as they go, verse 20, the Bible says in verse 35, and when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into the whole country and brought unto him those who were diseased. They besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. And I think here again, yeah, they had faith, wonderful faith in operation, but you know what? That was the gifts of healings as well. That Jesus was so saturated in the power of God, and remember, he was functioning as a man. He was setting the example for the church age. So when we get into the book of Acts, it's very important to think about Jesus and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, or the things that pertain to the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And remember, they're not gifts like you think they're gifts. They're the things that pertain to the Spirit of God and when he manifests the things that he does, whether it's through the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, gifts of healings, the gift of the operation of faith, it's called faith, or the working of miracles, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues. So why is it important to look at this? Well, because Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do. And then he said, and greater works than these shall you do. Why? Because I'm going back to the Father. I'm going to sit down at the right hand of the Father. Mark chapter 16, verse 19 and 20, the Bible says, well, they went out and began to preach, and the Lord was working with them, confirming his word with signs and wonders following. So the word of God is powerful. The signs and wonders that Jesus is working, it follows the word of God. And so as we spend time with the Lord and then take hold of his word, we can believe that his word, that he is working with us, he hasn't changed. And I just love it. Acts 1 verse 8, he said, you're going to receive power when the Holy Ghost comes on you, and you're going to be my witnesses. And they were such witnesses, the Bible says they were called Christians, meaning that anointing upon them and in them and the supernatural power of God around them, they were like little Christs, because Christ was totally in them, upon them, and working with them. And let me tell you something, that was powerful. Now, with this supplement, now you're ready to get into the School of Acts. You can start with the facts of Acts. That's going to be in the manual. And you start with that. And then you move on from that. And you begin to go in order. Resurrection. The power. Jesus is alive. And let me tell you something. That was burning in their hearts. And then prayer. They were men of prayer. Then came the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And boy, what a study that's going to be. And then you're going to go into the gifts of the Holy Spirit, all these things that pertain to the Holy Spirit. And wow, that's wonderful. But then you've got harvest. The whole purpose of the church is the harvest of the nations. And so you got an understanding of how to move forward in the School of Acts. And I can't wait to get feedback from you, because I really believe that this school is for such a time as this. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, seal these words. In Jesus' name we pray. We thank you for it. Amen. Now go to our website at www.foursmiles.com. There's more information there. Remember, we love you. Jesus loves you. He's coming soon. We need to be ready. God bless you. Bye-bye.